Thank you for phoning in or being here this evening. Appreciate it. Take care of one item right now. How many do not have books? Everybody have a book? Good. You have them? Right? Okay. All right. I got to order some anyway. So. Yes. What? Yeah, that's what I just asked. No. That's the next thing I'm going to tell you. I'll order some more. I'll have them by next week. Maybe by Sunday, if I'm lucky. Okay? Thank you. I got to order two, so I'll order five or six probably. Okay. We're on page. Well, let's start off with a prayer first of all. Just don't forget that. God, our kind, loving, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for each and every one who's participating in this class tonight. Try it again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for everyone represented here and on the phone. May we all study together and learn together so we can improve our lives in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're on page 22, number 6 at the bottom. This section is called, the book, first of all, is The Christian's Everyday Problems. This section is titled Biblical Failures and Discernment. That's being able to determine between difference between good and evil and other alternatives we may have in life. And we're on number 6 of this list, which is examples of people or groups who could not do that. The Pharisees in Matthew 23. Bear in mind, they were religious people. And they were supposed to be the most religious. They knew the law, but they didn't do it. And Christ chastises them several times for that. Jesus indicted them several times for their erroneous discernment, three of which we shall mention. There's actually four, and we're going to mention the fourth one as well. Indictment number 1. Ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. Those are spices or something small, little value, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. You should have been concentrating on matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith, instead of concentrating on the little things that really don't mean a lot when you think about it. They're good to do those too. Go ahead and do them, but don't put them ahead of the important stuff. So what did he call them? When Jesus indicted these Pharisees, usually described with, what do you call them? Hypocrites. Are you a hypocrite, Denise? No. Hope not. Right? You don't want to be called a hypocrite. That's bad. Working on not being called one, right? That's what he called them. And several times. And he did it to their face. They were there. They were trying to trick him up or do something with him. And he called them that to their face. Okay, now. Indictment number 2, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. The same principle, just expressed differently. A blind guide, if you go on a trip, a sightseeing trip, and you have a guide, is it to hit your advantage for him to be blind, or him or her? No, not really. That's something he's calling them here. Blind guide. He's letting these people know that they are not acceptable in the way they're living their lives. Train under gnat, that's something really small. And swallow a camel, that's something very large. Same principle as before. Indictment number three. Ye make clean the outside of a cup and the platter. I know the platter, the dishes. But within they are full of extortion and excess. Again, the same principle. Looks outside, they look clean, shiny, spotless. inside are dirty. You don't want that. And then the fourth one is about whitewashed tombs. You have tombs that are whitewashed. They're cleaned up and painted on the outside. Inside, they're dirty. Same principle. So there are actually four of them mentioned there. Guidepost to wise discernment. Faith. One of the greatest examples of perception is Moses, and the causative force in his life was faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, King James says, which we might say, what would we say there today? He come to years. When he grew up, became a man, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That means for a limited time. Limited time? Don't know how long it would last, but a limited time. He could have had that. He could have stayed, remained being considered as Pharaoh's daughter's son, because she did find him and pray and raised him. Hebrews 11:24-25. Faith led him to make the right decision. Hope was another power which influenced Moses in his choice, for he had respect with unto the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 11:26. Recompense means compensation, or maybe a payment, but that's the idea of recompense. Love, number three, love. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. I hope you looked that one up, because usually, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments, is the one I thought of. And I looked it up, I said, oops, not the word they have there. And that's worse. Words means the same thing, but commandments are strictly the words of God. He will keep my word. John 14:23. A greater love for human glory than for God was the deciding factor which caused some rulers to reject Christ. John 12:42-43. Let's look at that one. John 12:42-43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were afraid to do that in public, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, lest they would lose their job. That's what they were concerned about, their income, their livelihood. For they loved the praise of who? Men, more than the praise of God. That still happened today. Yes, it does, doesn't it? Men enjoy being praised, being sought out, being told how good they are, what good they've been doing. You gotta do the words of Christ. The Bible speaks of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 2 Timothy 3:4. Is this speaking of any one of us? Could be. Paul said that those who love not the truth will not find the truth. Don't look for it, you're not going to find it. But rather be possessed with a delusion which will cause them to believe a lie and be damned. Courage. Fear not them which kill the body, but also are not able to kill the soul. Matthew 10:28. This will surely keep me in making the right, help me. This will surely help me in making the right decision. The Christian's big problem is to do right and buy the truth or reclaim. Remain true, by the truth, or remain true to the truth. That's what I have there. And let the world do what it will. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. I want to look at that one quickly. In the contemporary. Invest in truth and wisdom. Invest in truth and wisdom. discipline and good sense, and don't part with them. Always keep those with you. Fear not. Fear has often gotten in the way of wise judgments. Saul explained his great disobedience. I jumped a little bit. His great disobedience with one word, fear. He feared the people and obeyed their voice. He did what the people wanted him to do. And his position was what? He was a king, wasn't he? He was a king. He had no reason to fear the people. He had no reason to do what they wanted done. His reasoning should have been, I want to do what God wants done. And he and Samuel had some very good conversations about that. 1 Samuel 15 and 24. Now, the examples of Jesus. It was prophesied of Christ, he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Isaiah 7:15. He's the only man who ever perfectly discerned every problem and every issue of life. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. The devil and all his friends, the combined forces of the opposition, hounded him, tested him, tried him, tempted him, persecuted him, and crucified him. But he was able to take everything they could hand out, answering every question and handling every matter and every circumstance and with perfection. He answered a lot of questions with another question, didn't he? He was very, very smart to do it that way, because he threw it back on them. Because he knew most of the time, not all the time, they already knew the answer. So he was very skilled at that. To the extent we follow the principles of Christ laid down, we shall be wise discerners. Sincerity rather than deceit. Love unfeigned, that word means genuine love. Love free of hypocrisy enables one to make a better decision than if he is moved by deceit. It will free him of retaliation, vengeance, and many other woes or troubles which cloud the judgment. Number 7 here is caution. Watch ye. Keep alert. Always be on guard. That's what that means. 1 Corinthians 16:13. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 22:3. What looks good may not be good. Solomon said, that which appears to be sweet bread may be gravel. What good is gravel going to do you when you're eating? Not, is it? Bread. Looks like sweet. Looks like something good, nice. Something you want to be partake of. It's not as gravel. It's useless to sustain your life. Investigation. Never reach a decision of consequence without fully investigating. I should be sure I have the facts before condemning others or before plotting a course for myself. I must deal with knowledge instead of presumption, gossip, or rumors. Gullible men have brought stocks on rumors and lost. Men and women have repeated tales without investigating, which falsely damage reputations, including their own. You pass off stuff that's not true, people will look down on you. People have accepted doctrines without searching the scripture. Many do that, don't they? Many. They won't. Even when you show them, all you got to do is show them the scripture, read it, like on baptism. You must be baptized. That's your opinion. They might come back and tell you, say, that's your opinion. No, it's not. That's what God's word says. That's not my opinion. I'm just telling you what the word of God says. But this rashness is not the behavior of the prudent person. Every prudent man deals with knowledge. Proverbs 13:16. On the good side, here's one of our best examples we have in God's Word. The Bereans acted with prudence. They search the scriptures. How often? Daily. Every day they're studying the Word of God. Now, this is the Old Testament they're studying, because the New Testament was not written yet. We've got to remember that. But they were still godly people trying to do what God wanted based on the scriptures they had. They studied it daily to see if what they were being taught, what they were hearing, was true. Acts 17 and 11. Principles rather than abuses of principles. Right here is where so many people err. They start out to fight the abuse of a principle and end up fighting the principle. It's the opposite of what they intended to do. They throw out the baby with the wash. You know, everybody's heard that statement. Every good thing has its dangers, even the pulpit. It is the Christian's duty to discern good and evil, throw out the evil, and retain the good. Much trouble has arisen in the church because of poor discernment. One of the daily and most urgent problems for the Christian is discernment. Okay. Now we'll do the review and then we'll go on to the next lesson. What is the meaning of discern? This was early in the lesson. He gave us this definition. Good. That's exactly right. To see and identify by noting differences. Good and evil, good and bad, other discern, one way or the other. Can't do both. Can a way that seems right be wrong? Yes. And the scripture for that is Proverbs 14:12. That what I heard you say? That's probably the right one. That's Proverbs 14:12. What's the one did you say, Denise? I'll look that up. Could be another answer, but I'll look it up and see. Okay? Thank you. What is God's pronouncement upon those who call evil good and good evil? He uses three letters in the word. Whoa! It doesn't mean stop. That's spelled differently. Like stopping a horse. Whoa! No, that's not it. Whoa, a lot of the scriptures in the Bible, words that Jesus said, have that word in it. Whoa unto you, scribes and Pharisees. Trouble for you is coming down the road. You're going to be in real trouble. And that's what book, chapter, and verse? That's correct. Isaiah 5 and 20. Now, last week, I think I mentioned that the books by Brother Conchin, when you get to the exercise part, they're usually in order. This guy didn't bother to do that. So he makes you hunt. You can't find them in order. You just got to keep looking until you find it. You read the question. I know I just said that. Just read that somewhere in this lesson. So you got to quickly, briefly go through the lesson again to find it again. What is the thing that doomed the young prophet? He believed the what? Lie. He was naive. He had been given instructions directly by God. He was told, don't go home with anybody. Don't go through the land. Go back home another way. And the old prophet caught up with him and told him a lie. He said, the angel came and told me something different. He told me to take you home with me. We'll have a meal together and fellowship. It is, you're right. That's a good comment. If he'd have just thought a little bit, he would have figured that out, I think, wouldn't he? God's already told me to do it, what to do and what not to do. Now here comes somebody else telling me an angel changed that. Angel changed what God said? No. He should have known, but he didn't. He was naive and young, and it cost him his life. What looks good to many may not be good. I don't know where he did that one. Sorry. Number 5. How did Martha fail in her discernment? Okay, all right. Mary and Martha. Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha around the death of Lazarus, the brother. Mary understood what was going on when Jesus showed up, who Jesus was, and Martha evidently didn't clearly understand it. Mary sat down at his feet and just to have a conversation with him, just to learn, just to be taught by Jesus. Martha was concerned about what are we going to feed these visitors, how are we going to entertain them. And Jesus spoke up and said, your sister's doing the right thing. What she's doing was important to her. Should have been considered that. But it wasn't the most important thing to do. While they had Jesus with them, they should have been studying and talking to him and learning from him. Number six, what two things that enabled Moses to discern wisely? Faith and hope. A little tight. I'm getting that in that blank. Faith and hope. That's right. Moses was, remember he was very reluctant to even take that job on, wasn't he? He tried to talk God out of it. God said, I want you to be my leader. No. I get nervous in front of people. I can't talk well in front of people. I can't do this. God says, you got the job, Moses. And did he do the job? Yes. He's tremendous, wasn't he? That's right. And his brother, for the most part, his brother Aaron. But, when you think about it and you read what we know, I don't think we would have picked anybody else other than Moses to do that job. He did a tremendous job. Joshua after him did a tremendous job trying to keep God's people from going down the right path. That's right. He was doing it all on his own. It was getting to him evidently, wasn't it? So then his father-in-law, yeah, told him that, hey, you gotta get some deputies. Specify some people who can help you make some of these decisions. Evidently, he was making all the decisions that needed to be made, or that they wanted made. Maybe they didn't need me to be made. But the people were coming to him with all kinds of problems and issues. They wanted him to answer. And he was probably working 20 hours a day, trying to do this. And the father-in-law suggested that he get help. And he did. He worked through this. Again, part of God's plan. Number seven, what does courage have to do with discernment? Okay. Exactly. Continue. Yes. Not be discouraged, right? It takes courage to remain true to the truth. And many people have fallen away over little issues that mean very little. In terms of if they kept them in their salvation, but they can lose their salvation when they don't do it and give up. Great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. That's Job 32:9. And I want to look at that contemporary. This one, they really do a good job on this one. Thank you. I look at it and see one number, and I look at it again, it's a different number. I don't know how it changes like that. 5, 4, 6. Okay, now I'm on the right page at least. And I don't think I go, no extra verses. 32:9. No, yeah, Job 32:9. And this is short and sweet. Age is no guarantee of wisdom and understanding. Is that true? It's very true. Sometimes people say, well, at your age, you've probably seen everything. What do you think I ought to do in this case? They may not be familiar with what you're talking about at all. Age is no guarantee. So it's not a guarantee. If you live older and you put age, add to your age from year to year, doesn't necessarily make you smarter. It doesn't necessarily give you more wisdom and understanding. Now it can. You got to work at it, though. It's not a gift. It doesn't come automatically. You got to work on it. It's got to be a goal that you have to do that. Say two reasons why the rich man in Luke 12 was a fool. First of all, who did he leave out of his life, out of his plan? God. Remember we read that through? I, us, me. Never mentioned a God being the reason for his success. And then the second reason, right. Remember he sowed bountifully and reaped bountifully. So he had an idea, well, I don't have enough room to store all my goods, all everything I'm growing out here. So I'll tear down these little barns I have and make big ones so I can store more. And God said that evening, what happened? What did he tell him? His life was required of him when? That night. So, you've been so worried about this, planning what to do with your all the everything that comes your way that you didn't give God any credit for. And you don't have to worry about it anymore. You're not going to be here. Your life will be taken this evening. What? That's right, greedy, selfish. Not the kind of attitude we should have, is it? At all. Gave God no credit. No credit at all. Number 10. Give the discernment of our Lord made of the loyalties in response to the question, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Tribute is taxes. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar and also to give God some of my proceeds too? That was the question. They asked it again to trick him up, try to get him to say something that people would take offense at. But he simply said, wait, see that coin? He had a coin from somewhere. Whose name's on that coin? It said Caesar. Okay. And you give Caesar his due. Whatever due Caesar, you give it to him. And whatever's due to God, you give it to him. That's the way he answered it. You know what? They didn't argue with it. It was a perfect answer. They were quiet. They left. Okay, let's mark that one right there, because that next question is going to take a few minutes to do. So, I don't have the August one up here, do we? Nope, that's July. So we'll start with number 11 there, and then go into the next lesson about the problem of immaturity. Immaturity. On page 27, I guess it is. Okay, any other comments? We got a couple of minutes. The bell, first bell rings at 7:30. The second bell at 7:35. That's the way we've got it set up. That gives the teachers 5 minutes to wrap up and do whatever they need to do. Okay, if not, then thank you for your attention. Appreciate it. And those who don't have books, Bonnie and Jerry will have those for you by next week for sure, maybe by Sunday. I'll call this guy tomorrow morning and let him know I need him. Okay? Thanks, everybody.